We want to welcome His Grace, Bishop Sarabian. It's a huge blessing for Ambassador Sarabian to be here. Sayyidina is really one of the pillars of the church these days. Sayyidina is somebody that represents the church ecumenically. He's doing great work in the Los Angeles Diocese. I consider myself a son of the Los Angeles Diocese and a son of Sayyidina. It's a big honor and grace that we have Ambassador Sarabian with us today. Let's give him our attention.
In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. كل سنة طيبين جميعا. We are in this time, we continue the celebration of the feast of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I came here for a ecumenical meeting. We have what's called the Christian Unity Summit. This is the invited 27 from the church leaders from different churches, Orthodox, Catholic, Evangelical, Pentecostals, and Protestant, mainline Protestant, a 2 days meeting to reflect about the changes happening in the American society and how it affects the churches and what is the changes in the churches and how we cooperate together to face this challenge. So our ecumenical activities and ecumenical organization. In the United States, there are 2 main ecumenical organizations: the National Council of Churches, which was established in the 40s of last century, and it includes the Protestant churches, the mainline, and the Orthodox, Oriental and Eastern. And then a few years ago, another organization formed, which is called the Christian Churches Together in USA, which is a wider platform to include the Catholic and the Pentecostal and the Evangelicals. And we were discussing how this cooperation to work together. And Abuna Paul, he told me about this Bible study meeting, and I cannot say no to Abuna Paul. So I ask for your prayer because I came without something specific prepared because they know about there is a meeting. But we reflect in some verses from the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Book of Genesis, chapter 32. I read from verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his 2 wives, his 2 maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok after he had sent them across the stream. He sent over all his possessions, so Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is a daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me name?" Then he blessed him there. Jacob called the place Ben-El, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Ben-El, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because of the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Glory be to God now and forever. Amen. This is a story of Jacob wrestling with God It is also mentioned in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, verse 2 to 4. I read, "The Lord also brings a change against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deed, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us." If we go to the background of this story, that is, as you know, Jacob, after he deceived his father, Isaac, and he took the firstborn right from his brother Esau, he left and he went to his uncle Laban, and he served him, and he married to his two daughters. And after that, he felt that Laban is deceiving him too. And it ended by he took his two wives and his children, 11, and his properties, and he left Laban. And he had to pass through Edom where Esau, his brother, was living there. And he was very afraid, concerned about how to cross the area where his brother was living and what will happen. So he sent messengers to his brothers, asking him to give him a permission to go through the land. But for the messenger came back and telling him the terrible news that your brother are coming to meet you with 400 people with weapons. So this has led Jacob to be very scared, because he thought that is now the time of his brother to revenge, and what will happen to him and to his wife and his wife and his children. So then the Lord appeared to him in a form of a man, and he wrestled with God. And the story, as it is mentioned in the book of Genesis and Hosea, is mentioned three names. He mentioned his struggle with God, with man, and with the angel. And the three names, which is given to the same person, which is the Logos, the Son of God, the second hypostasis in the Holy Trinity. He's called God because he's God. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's called man because in the fullness of time he incarnate and became man. So he appeared to him in a form of a man. He's called angel, which is different from the angel as a creatures. You read the Old Testament, the word angel could use in two meanings. Either referring the angel, this is the angel which we see with wings, and this is the one of the creatures of God. God created angels, archangels. But also the word angels is used to refer to the Son of God, because angel means messenger or sent. And the Son was sent by the Father. So you find in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, that is spoke about the angel accompanies the people of Israel in the wilderness. But also sometimes they feel God accompanies them. So here all the appearance of God in the Old Testament was the appearance of the Son. And he appeared in different forms. And one of the names which is called about him is the angel. I want to speak today about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. Prayer is very important for us. I know some of you are servant or preparing to be serving, or even if you are not servant, but every one of us need to pray. And the prayer is the essence and the core of our spiritual life. And for a servant, whether he's a bishop or a priest or a Sunday school servant, the power which we have is not our intelligence, is not our energy, but is our ability to pray. How to present the needs of the people, how to present our needs to God. And prayer is degrees. And one of the degrees of the prayer is wrestling with God, to wrestle with God, not just to pray. And I want to speak tonight about this meaning in our spiritual life. And I will speak in 5 points. Firstly, when to wrestle with God, where, how, for how long, and what is the outcome. And we will follow the story of Jacob to learn from the story of Jacob about these 5 points. When we wrestle with God. I know many of you like wrestlings, but here we are speaking about different kind of wrestling, spiritual wrestling, to wrestle with God. Jacob wrestled with God when he was in a difficult situation. He found himself in very, very difficult situation. That is what, there is no way for him. He has to go through this land where Esau was there. And he knows that is Esau coming with 400 armed people. So the outcome is well known. So we wrestle with God when we are facing difficult situation. When you pray regularly. But there is a time when you are in real difficulty, we cry to God. We wrestle with God. It's not just praying. Do you know Anna, the mother of Samuel? When she stood to pray, because she was so humiliated by the other wife of her husband, that is because she had children, but she didn't. So out of this bitterness and humiliation, she stood to pray. And Eli, the priest, when he saw her struggling in her prayer, he thought she was drunk. Because the way she was praying is not a normal way of praying. He rebuked her. But she told him, no, I'm not drunk. But I am a woman of bitterness, mogot nafs, yani fi bitterness. The Lord Jesus Christ is also, he himself taking a form of man. In Gethsemane, he struggled in prayer because he was going through the suffering, not the physical suffering, but more than the physical suffering is that is all the sin of the world to be put on him. This was a cup which he prayed if the Father to take this cup from him. And because of his struggle, so it, like drops of blood coming from him. عَرَقُ كَدَّمُ. He's showing in Gethsemane a kind of wrestling in prayer. And you can find many examples about people who find themselves in a difficult situation and they wrestled with God. But Jacob, before he wrestled with God, he did his homework. He tried to do something to save his family. That is, firstly, he sent gifts to his brothers. When they told him, the messenger, that is, your brother are coming with 400 armed people, he sent in front of him a lot of gifts. You can read in all the details about these gifts. We will not focus on that. But what is the purpose? He said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. The number one. Number two, he took care of his family. So it is written here, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok, and he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. So, crying to God, wrestling with God in a difficult situation does not mean we do nothing, but we do what we can. Of course, sending gifts to his brother, he may accept or may not. Keeping his wives and the children, of course, Esau can find them very easily. So it will not solve the problem, but at least he did what he could to do. So we wrestle with God in prayer when we face a difficult situation, especially when we find there is no logical solution for what we are facing. Like you are serving in your class, you have some in your class, they need special care because they're going astray. You try, you visit, you advise, but no response. Don't give up. Wrestle with God for the soul. Like Santa Monica, she wrestled for the soul of her son, Augustine. She did what she could. She advised him. He didn't listen to her. She brought him to St. Ambrose, the bishop. He didn't listen to him. He was given the Bible to read. He read the Bible and found that it's not in the level of what he is reading of other writers. But she continued to pray. Not only praying, but struggling in her prayer. And that's why St. Ambrose told him, the son of these tears will never perish. لا يمكن أن يهلك ابن هذه الدموع. هنا, she struggled for 20 years for her son. And at the end, God accepted her prayer. So the first is when. Secondly, where. Well, when we read in Genesis 32:24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Yani, we wrestle with God in a quiet place when we are alone, when you away from people. He didn't wrestle with him, with his family surrounding him, but after they put him in a safe place, as he thought. He was alone in the wilderness, and he started, and then God appeared to him in the form of a man. So you go, close your door, and you be alone in a quiet place. And we need in our life that is to have quiet place. We are in a society when there is a lot of distraction, very distractions. If you are distracted with people, you will be distracted by your iPhone, by your iPad, by the TV. There are many, many things to distract us. And we need a time to be with yourself, away from any distraction. And if you go to the inner room, in the inner of your heart, then you'll be able to wrestle with God. And that's why we see the people who went for retreat, a time for reflection, time for prayer. And of course, the monks, the nuns, the hermits who go to the desert, San Antonio, who went and lived in a cave for 20 years, struggling and wrestling with God. How? Through prayer. And we will reflect on the prayer of Jacob. We have the text of the prayer of Jacob. And we will find some elements which help us in our prayer when we wrestle with God. I will read what Jacob said. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendant as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. If we look to this short prayer, we can divide it into four sections. Four sections. The firstly, which help us when we pray in wrestling with God. Firstly, he addressed God, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. Why he said that? Why he just simply say, O God? Why he saying, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac? He's saying that is, God is not a stranger for me. Is not away. He is God of my father Abraham and my father Isaac. You are my God. That's why the Lord telling us in the Lord's Prayer, so our Father who art in heaven. We speak about our fathers. So it's important when we wrestle with God, we are not wrestling with a being who are away from us or a stranger for us or even neutral for us. He is our God. He is our Father. He is Emmanuel. God's with us. And when you start by knowing who is God for you, it encourages you. It encourages you that is, God will listen. God will understand your need. God will sympathize with your need because he is my God. So that's Jacob started by that. Number two, he is God of promises. So he reminded God by his promise in the beginning and at the end of the prayer. He told him, Lord, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal with you. I will deal well with you. So when you stand to remind God, that is, you promised to be with me. You promised to save me. You promised to, that's when I turn to you, to you listen to my prayer. So he reminded God, or he reminded himself, about the promise of God to him, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. And at the end, he said, for you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendant as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he chose the right promise, because what he was scared about, that is, Esau will kill the mothers with the children, but God, he promised him, that is, I make your descendant as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. If Esau is going to kill the mothers and the children, how is this promise to be fulfilled? But he reminds God, that is, be careful here. This man is going to to let your promise not to be fulfilled, because he's going to kill them. And you promise that is my descendant to be like the sand of the sea. So remind God of promises which is related to the situation in which you are. Like us, and when we have the persecutions of the church in Egypt. So remind God, you said that is the gate of Hades will not prevail against it. So when these Salafis and Muslim Brotherhood and all this attacking the church, oh God, you said that the gate of Hades will not prevail. You are going to prevail on us. They're killing us. They're kidnapping our daughters and our sisters. What is this? Are they prevailing? And so on. So it is important to choose the promise which is related to the situation in which you are. So number one, to know God. Remind yourself who is God for you. Number two, to remember his promises to you, because this will encourage you. Number three, to remember God's work with you. So Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truths which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, now I have become two companies. So he's grateful for God, because he crossed the Jordan alone. بعصيته دلوقتي راجع بجيشين. فهنا في blessing to God. So remember how God has been merciful, generous with you. And here, by the way, we notice Jacob emphasized of the same point. That is the number he returning with, because he's going to lose it if Esau will attack them. All these gifts which coming from God will be lost. So we tell God, you helped the church to be so flourishing. Now, are you sacrificing your church? And number four, then after remind himself who is God, calling God was God of my father, his promises, his works with him, then he presented what is his need. He told them, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. So don't start by presenting the need, but start at the end, because this will encourage you in your wrestling with God in your prayer, that is to have hope. Because sometimes in a difficult situation, we lose hope, losing hope. Especially when we are in a situation difficult, and then after that, we pray, and instead of things to improve, it becomes worse. And this is very, very hard. And it's very hard when we pray for something, and instead of something to be better, to be worse. See, at least not change, but to be worse after prayer. And then continue to pray, it needs a strong faith. Some people, they continue, some not. Mary and Martha, when they sent to the Lord about Lazarus, they sent to him, he was sick. He didn't go. And the sick man died. What they did? They didn't send to him telling him Lazarus died, because they had no hope what to do with the dead persons. But he knew that he died and told the disciple. Even so, he stayed another 4 days. And he went after 6 days. And both of them very angry with the Lord. If you have been here, my brother would not have died. But the Lord was very patient with them, and he raised Lazarus. In the opposite, Joseph, he was with God. He was honest with God. But he moved from bad to worse. He was sold as a slave, and then it ended being in prison, falsely accused, and then forgotten But he continued in his trust in God until the end. That's why he, when he stood in front of Pharaoh, he started to speak about God before telling him anything about his dream. So let us be like Joseph, whatever the situation may be, but we don't lose our trust in God by remembering his work with us. Because in case of Joseph, God helped him. His brother plotted to kill him, but he saved him. What is the difference? Maybe to be killed is better than to be sold as a slave. But God had a plan for his life. He was honest in Potiphar's house, but it ended by being in prison because of his honesty. But when you read in the Genesis, the end of the chapter, he put in prison, but next chapter, and God was with Joseph, and Joseph was successful. So even in the prison, he was with him. But you expect to be released from the prison, or at least to show he was innocent. But God allowed him to be in the prisons because he wanted something better for him, as we know at the end of the story. So in our wrestling and prayer, at least there are four elements we have to remember and learn from Jacob. Number one, to know who is God, to remember his promises, to remember his works with us, and lastly, to present our need. So we spoke about when to wrestle with God, when there is difficult situation, where in a quiet place when you are alone, how through prayer, and we spoke about four elements of this prayer. Number four, for how long? How long do we wrestle with God? In this story, it said, until the breaking of the day. Until the breaking of the day. He refused to leave him until the breaking of the day means the end of the night. Start of the day. So until the end of the trouble, until the end of the tribulation, until the end of the difficult situation. So we have to be steadfast. And as Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So tell God, I will not let you go until you solve this problem. I will not let you go until you grant me a solution. Which lead to the last point, which is the reward, the blessings. He was blessed by giving him a new name, Israel, Prince with God. So the new name indicates a new life, a new beginning for Jacob, because Jacob did a lot of bad things. But he was chosen by God for a purpose in his plan. And he needed to go to these troubles to be a new person. So the new name is mean a new person. That's why when a person to be ordained a priest or a bishop or a monk or a nun, she was given a new name as indicating of the new life. And this blessing is the blessing of a new beginning. And always the difficult situation, and when we face it by wrestling with God, God to grant us a new experience with him. Jonah, he wrestled with God in the belly of the fish, a big fish. But he came out with a new plan. This experience, it changed him. Even he need more discipline to understand the purpose of God. But definitely, the experience of facing death in the belly of the big fish, it changed him. Mary and Martha, they went into difficult situation, but it was a good experience for them to believe not only that Jesus Christ has the power to heal a sick, but also to have a power to raise a dead even after four days. But God sometimes leave something to remind us. That is why after this wrestling, then he was struck in his hip, and it remained with Jacob to remember this, because Jacob did a lot of deceiving things, and the work of God with him accepted him, but he leaves something to remember, to remind him. And this has led me to speak about Saint Paul. Saint Paul, he persecuted Christians, and persecuted Christians out of ignorance. And when the Lord met him in the way of Damascus, he lost his sight, which is a give indication about the real blindness which he had. He had a blindness in the heart, and then it became physical blindness to him. And after his belief and coming of Ananias to him, he restored his sight, but not completely. Saint Paul remained until the end of his life having a thorn in the flesh. And many indication in his letters to indicate this thorn of flesh was a weakness in his eyes. That's why he dictates, he writes in a big letters and so on. But why he was giving this thorn of flesh? Because God told him, he prayed for this, prayed to be healed, but God did not heal him. But he gave him acceptance of this thorn in the flesh. And he listened to his prayer in a different way, not to heal him, but to understand why he was given this thorn in the flesh. That is, to feel the grace of God working in him. Because this was his mistake. He thought that his man could be justified by his righteousness. He did not realize the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Because as a Pharisee, focus on the righteousness of following the law. That's why he was not accepting the Christian as people who don't follow the law. But he turned it to be the man who to lead in speaking about the grace of God and the righteousness of God, as he wrote in the letter to the Romans, to speak about man not to be justified by his righteousness, even if he follows the law, but to be justified by the righteousness of God, which appeared in Jesus Christ. And he lived this. He lived this, even he was an active missionary, but at the end he always feels that is not me, but the grace of God. ليس أنا ولكن نعمة الله was working in me. And God, he gave him this as a reminder, always to remember that is one day you was blind in your heart. Now I open your heart. That's why he's always remember he persecuted the church of God, to remind him to be humble and to feel the face, the grace of God working in him. So when God permits us to go into a difficult situation, he's not doing this just to test us. Because what is the interest of God of testing us? God is not interested in tempting us or testing us. But God really interested in our development in our spiritual life, in our growth, in our spiritual growth. And sometimes the difficult situation is a way for our spiritual growth, of our spiritual maturity. And God sometimes uses this. And we have to trust him and wrestle with him, with assuring that at the end we will get a blessing. And any difficult situation, if we deal with it in the right way, God can turn it to be a blessing for us, as he turned this terrifying situation which Jacob faced when Esau was coming to meet him. into a blessing for him, not only by saving him and saving his family, but to give him a new experience with God. That is to wrestle with God. So may the Lord Jesus Christ to help us in to know how to wrestle with him and how to let him to bless us and how we can grow spiritually even in a situation which sometimes we don't accept it at the beginning, but after that, God to reveal to us the benefit of it. And I wish you all the blessings and all the growth spiritually, and the glory be to God now and forever. Amen.